Your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is Prophecy Sunday. Today we're going to be talking about the great apostasy. When David was talking earlier and I said, "You mean apostasy?" And he said, "Yes." And I'm thinking, okay, we're on the right theme here. The great apostasy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ has come. Let no one deceive you by any means, but that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Paul here is warning the Thessalonians that there is coming a time in the history of the church where there will become a great falling away. A great falling away. I want to read verse 3 in some of the other translations. The NIV says, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction." Verse 3 in the New Living Translation says, "Don't be fooled by what they say, for the day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction." And the New American Standard says it this way, "Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy come first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." So that word there that is translated a rebellion or falling away, apostasy, in the Greek, it is apostasia. It means a defection or revolt. You know what a defection is? Like if you're in the military and you go AWOL, you defect, right? You're not in the military. You're running away from your responsibility in the war, right? And so this apostasy, this falling away, this defection will occur in the last days in the church. So this apostasy is a formal disaffiliation from or abandonment of a religious or an individual responsibility. One who commits apostasy or who apostatizes is known as an apostate. Okay? And, you know, we talk a lot about the last days, the tribulation, the great tribulation. Before there is a great tribulation, there is a great apostasy that comes to the church. Amen? And I believe that we are living in that time right now. I believe that the great apostasy has already began and it is continuing in the body of Christ in these last days. Apostasy is generally not a self-definition. Nobody would ever consider themselves an apostate. Very few former believers call themselves apostates because of the negative condemnation of the term, right? So maybe they've left the church, and they just might say, "Well, I don't really believe the way they believe anymore." Or they may say, "Well, I don't really like going because they're all hypocrites there." Nobody would call themselves, "I'm an apostate. I have become an apostate." You wouldn't hear them say that, right? But that doesn't mean that that's not what they are, right? The growing presence of apostates in society, according to the Bible, is an explicit sign of the last days. Have you ever told someone, you know, Jesus is coming soon, and, you know, the Bible says that they would scoff, and they do, right? "Oh, yeah, we've heard that. You know, they were saying that in my grandmother's day." Yeah, but you know what was not happening in your grandmother's day? The church was not apostate, was it? But many churches today are apostate, and so we know we are living in the last days, the last hours of the calendar before Jesus Christ takes the church home and begins what is known as the Great Tribulation, where all hell is poured out on earth, where demons are cast out of heaven and the earth is covered with demonic activity, where the Antichrist reigns. No one will be able to buy or sell without the mark, and anyone who takes the mark will be condemned. That's coming, but the apostasy is here. I want to give you 10 signs of an apostasy or an apostate church or an apostate Christian. Number one, Christianity without a born-again experience. You know, there was a time back in the 70s when the Jesus movement took place that everybody was talking about being born again. It was on Time magazine, so, you know, actors and people were becoming born again, and everyone was talking about that. I remember as a child at my grandmother's church down here on Shawnee, the little Pentecostal Holiness Church that had a wood-burning stove at the front and wooden pews. There was a sign on one of the cement pillars, "Ye must be born again." I found out my cousin Leslie, Debbie's brother, has that little sign still. It's still in the family from Grandma's church. "Ye must be born again." It's a quote from John 3. It was not a recommendation. It was a requirement that Jesus said when a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, came to Jesus at night and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus was answering him, and he said, "You must be born again." And being born again is not a philosophy. Being born again is not a way of thinking. Being born again is not joining church. Being born again is when you become a new creature in Christ. Amen? In John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, the reason Jesus said water and spirit is because he was identifying with the physical birth. I know we got some nurses in here, or nurse. You know, what is it called? Amniotic fluid, right? It's a lot like seawater, that when you're in your mother's womb, you are in water. And for 9 months, you're in water. For 40 weeks, you're there. And then the water breaks, and out you come, and you cry. "Oh, no. I liked it better in there." Thus begins the plight of man until Jesus takes him home. So you have to be born of water. You have to go through the birth canal. There is a physical event that happens. It's called the birthing event. Psychologists tell you that is the first trauma you experience in your life, as your head is squeezed down into the shape of a cantaloupe or whatever, you know. And so they tell you, we won't get into all that psycho stuff. But anyway, you're born of water. But then Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to experience eternal life, you have to be born of the Spirit too. It's called being born again. It's an event that is as certain as your physical birth. It is a time where you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ and that you embrace the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and that whoever puts their faith and trust in what He did on a cross 2,000 years ago as the purchase of their sins, that you are born again and something happens on the inside. Paul told the Corinthian church that you become a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away, all things become new. I like the way R.W. Shambach put it. It's like taking a shower on the inside. All of a sudden you feel clean. All of a sudden you feel this release. All of a sudden you have a joy that you never had before. And the things you used to hate, you like. And the things you used to like, you hate. You're a new creature in Christ. It's a metamorphosis, like the caterpillar turning into the butterfly or the tadpole becoming the frog. It's a metamorphosis. All of a sudden your life has changed. You are born again. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank God I'm born again this morning. The first sign of an apostate is that they have Christianity without a born-again experience. They go to church. Maybe they sing the songs. Maybe they even try to live a moral life. But they're not saved. They're not born again. They've never came to that place where they've surrendered their life and experienced the born-again experience. And I'm here to tell you that's an apostate. Amen? Jesus said it. He said it because He meant it. You must be born again. Number two, on the signs of an apostate: faith in people or institutions more than Jesus Christ. Proverbs 3:5, most of us can quote it. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." As a Christian, you learn to trust the Lord. You learn not to look to man. You learn that God is your source. You learn that people will let you down. You don't look to man. You don't expect man to fulfill your needs. I'm not saying that we can't have God. God can't allow people to meet our needs. I have a wonderful wife. She makes me happy. But if that's the extent of my relationship with God, putting all my faith in her, I'm going to be disappointed, and vice versa. And so we understand as a true born again Christian that I have to have my faith exclusively in Jesus Christ. But a sign of an apostate person or apostate church is they put their faith in people or institutions more than Jesus. You know, people don't mind you talking about your church. I know some of you heard this, so I'll give you the abbreviated version. When I was in the Air Force, I was given the opportunity to go up in front of a board to get my third stripe. They called it Senior Airman Below the Zone. And I was very proud of that. And they had a practice board, and they had you go in and practice your local organization because they wanted you to win. And then they would critique you. And this, to give you an idea how long ago this was, I told them there's, you know, that Reaganomics is not going to solve the country's problem. It's a sin problem, and people need Jesus Christ. And I saluted and walked out, and they called me back in and said, it's okay to talk about your church, but none of this Jesus stuff. I decided I'd rather have Jesus than the third stripe, so I said it anyway, and I still got the third stripe. Amen. It always pays to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Amen. But people want you to talk about your church. They think it's good that you are involved in the community. They think that that's good. Amen? And there are many people who are social Christians, who go to church for the society, for the social interaction of it, but they do not have faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? And there are whole denominations that have taken the emphasis of faith in Christ out of the whole church. I won't mention those yet. I might do later, so. So faith in people or institutions more than Jesus. Number three, signs of an apostate church. A lack of heavenly citizenship. Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We eagerly await. I said we eagerly await. I said we're anxious to go. I said we don't care. There's nothing down here that we're holding on to. I've been telling people about my man cave I'm building. Somebody said I might have been Joe Nay. I can't remember who it was. About the time you get that done, we'll be going. I said, and I'll be waving bye to it. There's nothing down here that I want to hold on to. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is more important to me, and I am a citizen of heaven. Amen? We are supposed to put our affection on things above, not on things of the earth, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. This week, speaking of Star Trek, and I think I told this maybe Wednesday, I can't remember. There was an article in the Muskogee paper about some Trekkie who had just died. And someone told me about it because I'm a Trekkie, okay? And I said, oh, well, that's okay. You know, they think, you know, that you just, everything is all about, okay, well, that's cool. And then a little later on, Beth, the director of nursing, said, Roger, I saw your obituary in the paper. And I knew what she was talking about because someone had already told me, but I just said, praise the Lord! And I think they all thought I was crazy. You know, what kind of idiot would say praise the Lord when they say you saw your... Someone whose citizenship is in heaven, amen? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue, amen? The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, and I don't feel at home in this world anymore. Hallelujah to God. My citizenship is in heaven. But if you are so in love with this world and the things of the world, when Jesus comes, you're going to be left behind. Jesus, you know, when I was doing children's ministry, you know, you get your Bible buck if you remember a verse. So everybody was, Jesus wept, Jesus wept. I thought I had them. I said, okay, you can't use Jesus wept anymore. You know what? They use the three-word sentence. Remember Lot's wife. Those kids are smart, aren't they? Remember Lot's wife. What did Lot's wife do? She looked back because her citizenship was in Sodom and not where God was wanting to take her. And she didn't make it. Amen. And so Jesus told us to remember Lot's wife. Remember that when she looked back longing for what she had, she didn't get what God had for her. Amen? Our citizenship is in heaven. Number four, I want you to say this with me. No more blood. No more blood. Amen? There are denominations, Methodist, I told you I would say them, who have taken the blood hymnals out. They don't have blood in their songs anymore. Isn't that terrible? I just don't understand that. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which he also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After service this morning, we're going to have communion because Jesus told us to. Amen. Now, we don't have it every Sunday. I try to have it often enough that it means something and not often enough that it becomes just a religious habit. Amen? But I am firmly in believing that this was not a recommendation. This was a commandment of the Lord. He said, do this in remembrance of me. We are to remember the price of our salvation was the blood of God's only begotten Son. You know, last year when we had our annual big Saturday night prophecy update, raised a few eyebrows because I named a few names. I talked about the Apostolic Reformation, ticked a few people off. That's okay. I don't mind. But anyway, I'm not out to hurt anybody's feelings, but I am out to declare truth. Amen. And one of the things I did, and I knew exactly what was going to happen, although I have to say I was very, very disappointed but not surprised, is I had some people from a certain church who has a pastor who calls himself an apostle, and I had a show of hands. How many have not had communion any time in their last year at their church? And like I said, not to my surprise, some hands went up. And isn't that sad? You see, the apostate church does not believe in the blood anymore. They don't want you to talk about it. If you ask them, we believe in it. But do you do communion? Do you sing about it? Do you put the focus on it? No, we don't do that. We focus on this, or that's our focus. This is our ministry over here. Well, what about when Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me? Amen? No more blood. The apostate church has taken the blood out of the equation. We can have Jesus without all that blood. No, you cannot. Amen? When he bled and suffered and died on that cross 2,000 years ago, that blood bought my salvation. Amen. I love the blood. I stand here today because of the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross 2,000 years ago. Praise God for the precious vicarious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 5, the list of apostates. No power in prayer. 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, I have to qualify this. Because, you know, I was saved in Assembly of God, and I've hooped and hollered with the best of them. I've laid hands on people, I've spoken tongues, you know, and I'm not denying any of that. But that, by itself, is not power. Amen? Power is touching God in prayer. Amen? Power is touching God in prayer. And I tell you what, whether a person speaks in tongues or whether they hoop or holler, I want to be around people who know how to touch God in prayer, don't you? I want to be around people who know how to pray and you feel the presence of God fill the room. That's what I call the power of prayer, power in prayer, amen? And so, you know, saying some little functorial, now I lay me down to sleep prayer, usually seldom has power in it. And I have to tell you, I just want to brag on Eddie for a minute. I'm sorry, she may be upset with me for embarrassing her. But she prays so softly, and yet you can feel the presence of the Lord when she prays. Amen? And I love that. It's a perfect example of power in prayer. If you can feel the presence of God, there is the power of God. And it doesn't have to be loud. It just has to be real. Amen? But an apostate church has no power in prayer. Number 6. Apostates are unaware that they are spiritually bankrupt. Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are going to be people who are going to have their mouth drop one day when Jesus said, I don't know you. Who are you? I don't know you. What a horrible thought. But Lord, we prophesied in your name. Hallelujah. Right? We cast out devils in your name. Out of them, the devil. We did all these wonderful works in your name. And they're totally unaware that they are spiritually bankrupt. We talked about Samson in Sunday school, how it came to the point one day where he knew not the Lord had departed from him. And there are people who are getting up today. The men are shaving. The women are putting on their makeup. They're putting on their clothes. They're driving to a church. They're going through a song service. They're sitting through a preaching. They're listening to the pastor pray, and they're going home, and they're going to hell because they do not know they are spiritually bankrupt. They are apostate. Excuse me, but it's true. I like to remind people there's going to be preachers in hell and prostitutes in heaven. Hallelujah. You don't believe me? Ask Rahab, right? That's right. You know, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about relationship. If you don't have relationship, you don't have nothing, honey. Amen. Number 7, double-mindedness, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that gives by all, to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen. We don't have this thing here for no reason. The just shall live by faith. I am what I am because I have put my faith in Jesus Christ. I have held on to him when circumstances said let go. I have held on to him when my life was in shambles. And I'm standing here today not because I'm anything great, but because I haven't let go of him and he didn't let go of me. Amen. And a double-minded man won't do that. If it works, I'll try it. Oh, it didn't work. I'm going over here and trying something else. That's double-minded. Amen? You need to make sure you know that you know that you know. And when you know, you keep on keeping on. And when you can't keep on, you keep on a little longer. Amen. I'm in this race to the end. He should have killed me when he had me, but it's too late now. I'm going to cross that finish line by the grace of God because I'm holding on in faith. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we're not double-minded. You know, there's a great picture in the Old Testament of double-mindedness. It's when the children of Israel begin to worship Baal. And Elijah the prophet said, why do you falter between two opinions? That's called double-mindedness. If God is God, serve God. If Baal is, you know, and Jesus said that in the last days people will be lukewarm. It means they're neither here nor they're there. They're neither hot nor they're cold. They're double-mindedness. They don't know what they want. They don't know what they believe. What do you believe? Well, I don't know. It's the way the Pharisees were when Jesus came. They marveled that he spoke as one having authority. When you know what you know, what you know, then you have authority. People say, well, that's your opinion. No, it's the word of God. Take it up with him. Amen? I know what I know, and I'm standing on the rock, and it don't move. Praise God. So number 7 was double-mindedness. Number 8, unfaithful. Go ahead and flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at that one together. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what? Faithful. That's right. It is required in stewards that one be found faithful. You know what faithfulness is? It's being consistent in what you do. The NIV says it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. And then the New Living Translation says, now a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. Do you know that when you got saved, you were put in charge as a manager? You were put in charge of your witness. Amen? And your witness for Jesus Christ is measured in your faithfulness. Your faithfulness in 4 things. Number 1, church attendance. You go to church. Amen. What do you do on Sunday? I go to church. What do you do? Well, sometimes I go. Sometimes I don't go. You know, now I'm not trying to, you know, Joanne has, you know, some illnesses and there's reasons. But when you can, you're in church. Amen. Sometimes things come up. Sometimes we had a disaster one time. I seldom miss a service. But we had a disaster here about a year ago. We just got 2 new dogs, and they got into rat poison. How many of you guys remember that? Joe Nay remembers that. And I asked God for wisdom, and he said, call the poison control. I called the poison control. They said, get some, what was that, goop? Hydrogen peroxide. Make them throw up. God, wisdom will save you if you ask God. Amen? But I seldom miss church. I miss church that day. Things happen. Things come up. Had to save the dogs. Amen. But a Christian, a faithful Christian who is committed, goes to church. The second thing they do is they give. Now, you know, I don't talk about money a lot because the Lord has always taken care of the bills here. I am so blessed. There were services in the history of Faith Fellowship where Eddie and I were the only two people here. Isn't that right, Eddie? On a Wednesday night, and maybe on Sunday, two or three more. And yet we have never not had the money to pay the rent and the utilities. And that's quite a bit of money. Amen? And so God is faithful. Why can't we be faithful? Amen? The third thing is prayer. We need to be faithful in prayer. The Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint or lose heart. You know what? Fainting is losing heart. Sometimes you will have circumstances in your life where it just seems like it's not working. That it's just not working. I tried that. It's not working. Nothing's working. I'm having financial problems. I'm having emotional problems. I'm having spiritual problems. And I prayed and nothing happened. What should I do? Keep praying. Amen? Keep praying. Pray on. Pray on. Press on. Keep praying. Don't stop. Keep praying. Keep standing. Keep praying. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. For everyone who asks, gets. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, the door's open. That means keep praying. Be faithful in prayer. And then the fourth thing in faithfulness is reading the Word of God. Amen? Amen? The Bible says that the Word of God is like a mirror shining on your life. You see, when I look at myself in the mirror, I say, I'm not so bad. I don't act like that person, and I don't do those things that guy does, and I'm a lot better than that girl over there. But then when I read the Bible and it shows me what I really am in relationship to God, I say, like Isaiah said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a worm. God, I'm not even worthy to lift my eyes to heaven and look at you. So you need to read your Bible or you will start thinking you're something you're not. You know, we are all dust. We are all dirt. We all are sinners saved by grace, and we need God's grace. So read your Bible. Amen. So the sign of an apostate is that they're unfaithful. They're unfaithful in church. They're unfaithful in giving. They're unfaithful in prayer. And they're unfaithful in reading the Word of God. Number 9. I hope this is ministering to you. This is kind of a long one. A lack of self-control. You know, there's a lot of people today that have a lack of self-control. Number 1, in their tongue, James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to also bridle his whole body. Behold, we put a bit in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ship, which though they be so great, and are driven by fierce winds, and yet they are turned about with a very little small helm, whithersoever the governor wishes. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and bird and serpent and things of the sea is tame and has been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which is made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursings. My brethren, these things just ought not to be so. That's what James said. And I think that was pretty much it. That sums it up. We have a problem. Our problem is our tongue. My first sergeant in the Air Force told me, Airman Jones, smart airman like you, know the right people, go a long way in this man's Air Force. Problem is when you go opening your big mouth. And he was right. My tongue has gotten me in so much trouble. James is right. The Bible's right. Amen. We need to control our tongue. The second thing in the lack of self-control is appetite. John 6:27, Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for him God the Father is sealed. You know, I like to eat as much as the next guy, but Proverbs says that if you're given to an appetite, put a knife to your throat. Amen? You know, we have to not let our appetite control us. We have to be in control. Amen. And then the third thing in the lack of self-control is the carnal mind, Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Does that mean you have to always go around going, hallelujah, glory, God, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, glory, God, thank you, Jesus? No. Does that mean you can't watch a movie? Does that mean you can't play a game? No. But God wants you to be spiritually minded and not driven by your own carnal thoughts. Amen. Lack of self-control. And number 10, fear-based rather than faith-based. Psalms 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you'll hear his voice and harden not your heart as in the provocation and in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with that generation, and I said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways, and to whom I swore my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. And so this last thing, this fear-based rather than faith-based, the Bible reminds us of that event when the children of Israel came to Kadesh Barnea to go into the promised land, and the 12 spies went in, and Joshua and Caleb came back and said, man, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. The grapes are as big as cantaloupes. Let's go get them. And the other 10 said, but there's giants in the land, and we'll get squished by them. And they were fearful, and they made everybody else afraid. And God said, I was ticked off at those people. And I swore, so help me, they will not enter that promised land. And he drove them back for another 38 years because of their fear and unbelief. Amen? You can spot an apostate because they operate in fear instead of in faith. They see the situation, they go, oh, I don't think I can do that, you know. Well, bless God, none of us thinks we can do it. That's why we step out in faith. Amen? When I first started Faith Fellowship, I had someone say to me, you're crazy. You don't know nothing about pastor and church. I said, you're right. But I knew God called me. And if God be for us, what? Who can be against us, right? And I love what David said to the giant. Who is that uncircumcised Philistine that should divide the army of the living God? The God that delivered me, the bear and the lion, he will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Amen? You got a message for the devil? Shambok said, write it on the bottom of your shoe, because that's where he belongs, under your foot. Under my feet. Amen? And so the 10 signs, come on up, Noel, of an apostate church or an apostate individual. Number 1, Christianity without a born-again experience. Number 2, faith in people or institutions more than Jesus. Number 3, a lack of heavenly citizenship. Number 4, no more blood. Number 4, no power in prayer. Number 6, apostates are unaware that they are spiritually bankrupt. Number 7, double-mindedness. Number 8, unfaithful. Number 9, lack of self-control. And number 10, fear-based rather than faith-based. So Paul tells us, don't let anyone deceive you, for that day won't come until there is an apostasy in the church. Amen. And that's where we live today. So how can we, as Christians, combat that apostasy? We need to stay in the Word, and we need to stay in prayer. You know, anyone can be deceived. The minute you think you can't, you will. The Apostle Paul said, you know, that we're to be on our guard. We're to be watching and praying. But he that takes heed when he stands, lest he fall, right? And you don't spot apostasy out of your own head. You only spot it out of the Word of God. You're not spending time in the Word. You are a prime candidate to be an apostate. You need to know the Word inside and out, front and back. You need to be stayed prayed up, and you need to keep yourself clean from sin. And then you won't be deceived by the lies of these last days. You know what? A false prophet looks like? He looks like every other preacher, and he sounds like every other preacher, with a few small exceptions. I like what Kent Hovind says: you don't kill rats with poison; you kill them with good food and a little bit of poison. And that's true. And so today, as we begin to pray, as we close in prayer, ask the Lord to help you to keep the main thing, amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and we are so thankful that, no, we're not perfect. No, we haven't arrived. But, Lord, we know your word. Your word will guard against apostasy. We are the people of the book. And you told us to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. You thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We are men and women of the word. We are men and women of prayer. We are men and women of faith. And we know, Lord, that we have planted our feet upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus. And, Lord, by your grace, we will not give in to the apostasy of the last days, but we will shine the light of God's truth on it and expose it, regardless of any kind of controversy that it may raise. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us a moral compass that is true even in the last days, the Holy Word of God. Lord, help us to study it more and to be watching and praying. If you're here this morning, every eye closed, nobody looking around. You say, Brother Roger, I know a little bit about religion, but I don't know that I'm born again. The Bible says that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. That means me, that means you. And the Bible goes on to say the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That means that you are going to hell unless you're born again, unless you're saved. And it's not hard, you just have to be willing to surrender your life and put your faith in Jesus Christ. For if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. If you're here this morning, you're not sure you're ready to meet the Lord, and you want to be born again. You want to become a Christian. You want to, not in word, but in deed. Amen. Just slip your hand up and let me pray for you right now. Anybody at all? God bless you. Anybody at all? God bless you. I see your hand. Hallelujah. All right, let's all stand, shall we? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you raised your hand, I'd like to invite you to come down here to this altar. And Jonay, why don't you come down here and pray with these people? It's a simple prayer. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. Just come on down, and God will meet you here. And come on, Jonay. Come on, you guys that raised your hand. Come on. Come on, it's okay. I'll meet you here, too. If you can't walk an aisle, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? We're waiting on you. We're waiting on you. Pray for me, Brother Roger. Come on. All right. I tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead and pray the sinner's prayer. And if you raised your hand, you didn't come forward, God loves you right where you're at. Amen. Let's repeat after me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I know that I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. But the Bible says that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. And right now, according to his word, I confess Jesus Christ. Lord, I invite you into my heart to stay. And with your help, I will live my life for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. God bless you. Thank you. Nola, you got a song for us? Yeah, let's do a little song.